A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with David Dujanovic.
We're expecting the Senate to vote today. I don't think it's happened already. Regarding the For the People Act, it's a massive overhaul of the U.S. elections laws. It's the biggest in at least a generation. We're going to go in depth on what's going on back in D.C. at 11:05 with Boyd Matheson from Inside Sources. But we're asking our listeners right now to vote by text 57500. We want to know how you vote. Dave, how do you vote? How did you vote in the last election?
By mail.
Boring.
I think everybody did.
No.
Just about everybody did.
No.
It was the COVID vote.
According to 57500, which is our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line, text us quick and tell us, did you vote by mail like everybody did, according to Noriega? So what is your MO when you vote? Do you get together at the kitchen table with the kids and bounce the issues off them, then cast your ballot, and then drive it to a ballot box? Or do you put it in the post office box?
Yeah, a little bit of all of that.
Ah. Tell us.
I've been voting by mail as long as they've been sending me. I love voting by mail, and I love it for many reasons. I do love this. We sit down as a family. Whenever I fill out my ballot, I grab whatever kids are around, and I try to make sure there's as many as possible. I sit them down. I explain. It's a great reminder, the branches of government, why we're voting, the role they play. So I give them a little civics lesson, and then I talk about the candidates. I show them the websites where I do research, and then I talk to them why I'm voting for this person.
That's awesome.
And I like to have a couple points. I usually have a couple specifics that I like to bring up. Like, hey, I like this person because they vote this way, or they believe the same way I do. Then I fill it out, I show them, and then I pack it up, and I mail it.
One of the things that ACT would do if it passes, I don't think it stands a chance, but Boyd will give us his insights when he joins us in 5 minutes. We'll create a new national automatic voter registration that asks voters to opt out rather than opt in, which they say will ensure more people will sign up to vote. It does a number of other things. We'll get into more details in about 7 or 8 minutes. Carlos, one of our new family members here at KSL News Radio, once again, welcome to the team. You voted in a most unusual way in the last election.
Yeah, I was in Spain. It caught me in Spain when it happened. And I thought it would be by mail, maybe. But the Davis County sent me a Google survey to vote. So it was a unique code just to me. And then I just filled out the survey, and I'm guessing they voted on my behalf.
What?
Did you feel like it was secure? I've never heard of this before. Are you sure you didn't get scammed?
I don't know. I honestly wouldn't know, but I definitely didn't feel that secure.
It felt weird. And it was just over an email?
Yeah, send me an email with a link with my code, and it just said, you know, fill it out.
And did it have the candidates' names once you entered all the information?
Yeah, it looked like a regular, you know, all the options and everything, but it seemed like a very hackable way to
vote,
yes.
You know what we need to do? Tomorrow on the show, we need to get the clerk.
Davis County.
Clerk of Davis County on the line, because we have to investigate that. I've never heard of that as a way to vote. Carlos, our new producer, sharing how he voted, apparently through, was it Google Doc?
It was like a Google survey.
A Google survey. All right. We're going to get to the bottom of that in tomorrow's show. Thanks for your hot take on that, Carlos. Dave's never heard it before. I've never heard that before.
Well, first of all, Carlos, way to get it done, right? I mean, thinking outside the box, getting your vote put down, that's awesome. We got to find out more about it, though. That's fascinating. I've never heard of that.
We've asked for your hot takes as well, our listeners, our friends of the show, to weigh in on how you voted at 57500, which is our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. This listener says, I love voting by mail. So I guess that means they voted by mail. This listener says they voted in person, and they vote in person whenever available. When not available, they vote by local drop box. I think a lot of people had suspicions about the mail and the ballot getting there. And I loved how we can track our ballots now. And in the last election, I tracked mine. I put mine in the mail. I put mine and my kids in the mail. And then I ran to the, I think it was the lieutenant governor's website, and I tracked it all the way in until it got there. Morning, guys. This is from Joe from Roy. He says he's in his 30s, been voting in person since he was 18 years old. His wife's a few years younger, and this past election, the first time she's ever voted is because they made it easier with the vote-by-mail option.
And that's interesting because I remember I was thinking back when I first voted. I was 19 years old. It was Bill Clinton's first term. That was the vote. And I did. I showed up to the local elementary school. I filled it out. I didn't know half of what I was doing. I wasn't super educated on the candidates. I had no idea what the judges thing was. I was not prepared for that. Yeah, I mean, there were like, I thought I was going in there for the president and maybe a few extra, but this is a long ballot. So I've loved the at home, the research you can do, the you time, you don't feel rushed.
Right, you can do it over days.
I would never, exactly. You make a great point. Fill it out over days as you're learning about it so you're not rushed. I love the voting by mail because I love that I'm not rushed.
Amber, the woman who keeps the show afloat every single day from behind the glass, you have a hot take on why you love voting in person.
I like to stand in line. I think that voting is, like, I like the whole experience of voting. And when I'm at my kitchen table filling it out, it's kind of boring. I like to look around and think about who other people are voting for, kind of eavesdrop in on other people's conversations to see what candidates that they want to choose. But, I mean, this was also, I did like voting in mail this time. This is the first time that I've ever voted by mail, and I did study a little bit more. Cause sometimes when I am in line and you're up there, like, looking at the judges, I'm like, I don't know any of
these
panic.
People.
Yeah.
It's panic.
As long as I get the main guy right, then that's all that matters.
The main guy. Thank you so much for jumping on.
I love that she's kind of romantic about it.
Yeah.
Because it really is. Voting does kind of have a romance to it. It is so neat. It's such a powerful part of our country. We take it for granted. And I do love that she kind of likes the environment. It's kind of like going to a game versus watching a game on TV. The TV probably gives you the better view, but being there is something else.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and Dujanovic have inside sources.
Oh, yes, we do. We've got Boyd Matheson right here in studio to dive into this huge 900-page voting bill that's about to go down in flames, we think, as the GOP uses the filibuster to block this legislation. And there are really, Dave, there are three big things in this bill that we want to dive into right now. But at the top of the list is expanding voter rights.
And I remember my first vote in 1994. I was 19 years old. I had one day to get that vote in. I ran over to my elementary school, the one I had attended. I figured it out. I got my vote in. It was clumsy. It was legal. But I remember I had like one day, and I had to get it done.
Now, how many days do you have?
There's roughly 52,000 ways to vote right now.
Yeah, many days and 52,000 ways. Let's bring Boyd Matheson of Inside Sources into the conversation. Boyd, first of all, I just want to make sure the vote hasn't happened yet, right?
That's right. Okay. It'll happen this afternoon.
Okay.
And remember, this is not a vote on the bill. This is a vote to have a conversation about the bill. So this is sort of like when you say, hey, let's talk about it. No, let's talk about talking about it. That's sort of what this is. And so today they're going to vote not to talk about it, which means they're not going to bring it to the floor of the Senate.
Well, then, Boyd, we can dismiss you right now.
I'm done, yeah. Mic drop. But hey, if a 19-year-old Dave Noriega can pull it off in a single day, I think it's a we're gonna start a new law, Dave. It's going to be the Noriega bill, and we're going to do it all as a 19-year-old can and prove that we can actually get the vote done.
This is 900 pages. This is sweeping. Let's dive into the For the People Act and talk about expanding voter rights and what this bill would do if they talk about it, if they vote to talk about it. It will allow for same-day voter registration. Early voting, you could vote vote 2 weeks early. Let's just bite off those two issues. Same-day voter registration. And I've always just been registered. I don't show up at a polling place the day of, so I didn't realize that this would even be a thing. And then early voting 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of Utahns, a lot of the listeners are probably shrugging their shoulders saying, wait a minute, I can vote by mail. I can vote early. And so a lot of this is stuff we already have going here in the state of Utah. I think the important thing to keep in mind in what's taking place in Washington today is federalizing all of it, is putting it all under the purview of the federal government. And I think that's really the heart of the issue. If the rest of the country would just look at what Utah has done and proven can be done in terms of voting, I think this would be a very different conversation today.
I'll tell you right now, Sherry Swenson is right now pounding her hand on the on her table saying, it's a provisional ballot. You can register the day of. You just have to bring in some ID and some, you know, proof of this and that. There's a provisional ballot. It will get counted.
Yeah.
Like you said, Boyd, a lot of this stuff is already being done. Not only in Utah, but in many states across the country.
Yeah, that's right. And so this really is a federally focused bill. And again, the founders set this up state by state, county by county for a reason. And part of that is the security issue. Much easier to hack a federal, you know, one all-in-one system than it is all of these. It is a little bit of a patchwork. And there are things that we definitely need to get to in terms of, you know, increasing that access. But again, this bill has so many different things in it. So there are areas of agreement. I wish they would just cut out the other 867 pages. Let's just start with the things we know everybody agrees on. 74% of Americans say showing ID to vote is a good thing. It would give them more confidence in the results and the outcome of election than anything else. Just that one component to it. So as far as the voter rolls and voting early and so on, I think you can get to the nuances of all of those. But again, it's one more big one-size-fits-all.
Well, Boyd, look at some other countries across the world where the party in power, the president or the prime minister or whatever you want to call them, conducts and holds and runs all the voting. How much confidence do you have in that? I mean, it's incredible that we have standards, right? We've seen this happen across the world where, hey, I'll be darned, Fidel Castro won with 99.9% of the vote. I mean, he didn't have 100.
That ad campaign was awesome, Dave. I mean,
Boyd, what's your take on this? This would create a new national automated voter registration, I guess a database that would ask voters to opt out rather than opt in. I think this would ensure that, you know, there would be more people automatically signed up to vote. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, databases make me nervous. and it's not just because I'm really bad at Excel spreadsheets.
They're hackable?
Yeah, and just that exposure. And again, I don't think it's too high a bar to have to register to vote. And we have seen in a lot of places the reverse of that's also a problem. Getting people off the registration after they've died or moved to another location, I guess a location one way or the other. But there are people who just hang around and they know when those ballots are going out and they pick up, you know, and are able to vote, harvest ballots that way, which is also a problem.
Okay.
Number two on For the People Act, one of the things that really bothers me, I hate this idea. And I hate a lot of ideas, but this one I really hate. But public financing of campaigns. And one of the things they offer is a matching of donations. In fact, it's a 6-to-1 match on your small donations. So if you donate $100, that candidate is going to get $600 from the feds as well, from the federal government, for a total of $700.
And guess where that money's coming from?
Me.
That's coming from Debbie. That's coming out of Debbie's paycheck. And so I do worry about that. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is that even state races are really national races now. I mean, you look at some of the recent Senate campaigns in Texas and Georgia.
They're dumping all kinds of money.
The donations are coming from everywhere. So if you had to, I think one candidate in the short election between December and January in Georgia raised $21 million, mostly from small donations. So add that to the national
times
debt.
Times it by six.
So those kinds of things are definitely problematic. I do think there are compromises to be found. There are areas where the federal government clearly has a role, but this is one more big, ginormous bill, lots of spending, lots of unknowns, and that's why I don't think they're even going to take it up in the Senate.
Boyd Matheson, thank you so much for joining us.
Straight ahead, this number does not seem to stop. Speaking of finances, home prices going through the roof. I cannot believe how much the median home price is now, Dave, for Salt Lake City. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this? I'll tell you in 3 minutes.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.